Discovering Christ in All the Scriptures, a book written by Pastor Donald S. Fortner. Chapter 20, Proverbs, Christ, the Wisdom of God. The poetic books are set before us essential and blessed aspects of life in Christ, as it is experienced by God's saints in this world. Job displays the necessity of self-denial, of dying to self that we may live unto God. The Psalms set before us the blessedness of worshiping our God in resurrection life. Ecclesiastes displays the utter vanity of all earthly things, the complete inability of finding satisfaction for our souls in this perishing world of woe. The Song of Solomon displays Christ as the one in whom alone our souls find satisfaction. Lamentations teaches us to set our hearts upon our God and Savior, finding contentment and satisfaction in Him. Proverbs shows us the blessed wisdom of faith in Christ, wisdom with which to live for God's glory in the present evil world. The first 9 chapters of this book are instructions by Solomon to his son, a series of parental admonitions to his son to seek wisdom and shun folly. But there is more here than Solomon's instructions to his son. In this book, we have before us God's instruction to his sons and daughters, teaching us to seek wisdom and shun folly. In the remaining chapters, 10 through 31, we are given 374 proverbs that touch every phase of life in this world. The purpose of this book is set before us in the opening verses of chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The key of the book is found in verse 7. Here we are told plainly what wisdom is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There are many books written by men to teach wisdom. The things that set this book apart from all others is that it does not teach us about wisdom. It teaches us wisdom. Does not teach us about wisdom. It teaches us wisdom. It teaches and reveals Christ, who is wisdom. That distinguishes this book from all the wisdom literature of the world. There is no wisdom without truth, and there can be no discovery of truth apart from revelation, the revelation of Christ, who is the truth and wisdom of God. All the philosophical wisdom of the world, all of it, is utter foolishness, because there's no fear of God before their eyes. Christ is wisdom. He alone is wisdom. He alone can make us wise. That's the message of this inspired book of wisdom. In chapter 8, wisdom is personified. It is obvious that the personification of wisdom spoken of in that chapter is Christ. And I quote here, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Christ is the wisdom spoken of, and speaking throughout these 31 chapters. This is not a book about moral philosophy. The book of Proverbs is a book about Christ, the wisdom of God, and the truth of God. James said, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The Apostle Paul tells us, But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, we read, But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. This book teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ, our incarnate God, our crucified substitute, our risen and exalted Lord, our omnipotent Savior, is the very wisdom of God. Proverbs 3:6 says, In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Compare what is written in the book of Proverbs about wisdom and what is written elsewhere in the book of God about Christ, and you will see clearly that the wisdom spoken of here is a person, not an attribute, and that that person is our Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. That's from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 and 23. Then from Matthew 18, verse 3, And said, Verily I say unto you, Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Proverbs 1:33, But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Matthew 11:28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Proverbs 2:4, If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Colossians 2:3, In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Proverbs 8:1-4, Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Gospel of John chapter 7, verse 37, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. From Proverbs 8:5, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of understanding heart. Luke chapter 10:21, In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Proverbs 8:6, Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Luke 4:22, And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, Is not this Joseph's son? Then in Proverbs 8:14, Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. 1 Corinthians 1:30, But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. From Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the sons of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Matthew 7:7 reads, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Proverbs 8:20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Psalm 23:3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Proverbs 8:22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Proverbs 8:23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, forever the earth was. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Proverbs 8:27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there, when he set a compass upon the face of the depth. From John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Proverbs 8:30, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Hebrews 1:2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. From Luke 3:22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And from John chapter 17, verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Proverbs 8:32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Gospel of John chapter 15 verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Proverbs 8:35. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 5, Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 35, And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you would be wise, read Proverbs 30 and learn wisdom. The only true wisdom man has is the wisdom of faith, faith in Christ. The man speaking here is Agur, son of Jacob. He tells us in verse 1 that what he is declaring is prophetic. Specifically, it is prophetic of Christ and faith in him. Wisdom begins with, and faith begins with, a confession of our utter helplessness, unworthiness, and ignorance as fallen, sinful creatures before God. Surely I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. Chapter 30, verse 2. This is the cry of repentance and faith. God be merciful to me, a sinner. If we are to walk in the path of wisdom, we must acknowledge our guilt and weakness. Agur goes on to declare in verse 3, he has no knowledge of God, no wisdom, no understanding of God. He says, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. The fact is, we will never know God, we will never know Christ until we are all convinced that we don't. This wisdom, the knowledge of God, which is eternal life, John 17:3, comes by divine revelation. Quote, For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Even the Greek philosophers could not answer man's quest for the true meaning of life. The best of philosophers on Mars Hill, the best they could do was to erect an altar to the unknown God. We cannot, by searching, find out God. We will come to know him only when he reveals his Son in us as he did with Saul of Tarsus. Faith sees, acknowledges, confesses, trusts, and worships the risen, exalted Christ. overwhelmed by the thought of God's greatness and power revealed in Christ, the crucified, risen Savior. And by the infinite distance separating man and God, Agur asked a series of penetrating questions. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? God graciously forced Job to face and deal with these same questions, laying him in the dust before him. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the suns shouted for joy. Agur's talking about Christ, the Son of God. Verse 4 ends with a tremendous question. What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? God has a son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. Isaiah would prophesy, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, the one in whom alone the triune God is revealed, is the one of whom the passage is speaking. Christ descended from heaven to save his people from their sins. This same Christ is God the Creator and ruler of all things, who upholds all things by the word of his power. He bound the wind in his fists and holds the waters as in a garment. It is he who established the ends of the earth. I did not draw this interpretation of Agur's words out of my hat. This is precisely what Paul tells us as he sets before us the essence of saving faith in Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 13. Blessed is that person whom the Lord graciously humbles before him as he did Job, Agur, and Saul of Tarsus. Such humiliation comes only when Christ is revealed, when he is made to see the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ. That faith that God gives to and works in the hearts of men comes from and rests entirely upon the pure Word of God, taking Christ as he is revealed in Holy Scripture. As our shield and refuge, we have peace with God. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. True wisdom. This wisdom that comes from Christ, who is the wisdom of God, bows to the revelation and authority of Holy Scripture, the Word of God. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, is all about Christ. He is to be seen everywhere in the book. It is Christ who calls sinners to repentance, promising grace to all who come to him, and warning rebels of the destruction they bring upon themselves by their rebellion and unbelief. When Christ enters our hearts, the knowledge he gives is pleasant to our souls. He gives us understanding and a protection from all evil. Christ is our surety, who snared himself with the words of his mouth. Christ, who is our wisdom, warns us to avoid the strange woman in chapter 7. The harlot here spoken of is not merely the common prostitute. The harlot allures her victims upon the basis of her religious devotion. She has by her much fair speech and flattering words, enticed many and cast many strong men into hell. Her house is the way to hell. The harlot is the same old whore described in Revelation 17 and 18. She represents all false religion, all free will works religion. Christ is the one called wisdom, by whom kings reign and princes decree justice, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, who leads in the way of righteousness, who causes us to inherit the treasures of boundless grace, who, being set up from everlasting, stood and spoke out as our wisdom in covenant grace before the world began. Christ is that one called wisdom, who has built his house from hewn stones upon seven pillars of grace with the sacrifices of God. Christ is that one called wisdom, who teaches his people how to live in this world for the glory of God in every relationship and experience. The fear of God, faith in Christ, is the source and beginning of all true wisdom and knowledge in every relationship and walk in life. Christ is that one called wisdom who teaches us and convinces us of divine truth, for he is the truth. He shows us that our God is the absolute sovereign of the universe. He who made all things for himself rules all things, including the hearts, tongues, and ways of men, for his own glory. Even the king's heart is in his hand, absolutely controlled by him. It is only in and by Christ that we are made to see how God can be both a just God and a Savior, purging iniquity by mercy and truth. There's no other way whereby the holy, just, and true God can forgive sin, except by the sacrifice of his darling Son, making him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In chapter 31, King Lemuel gives us a prophecy taught to him by his mother. This King Lemuel, whose name means to God, is commonly thought to be Solomon, and that Lemuel was a name by which his mother, Bathsheba, called him. The prophecy is given to attract our hearts to and teach us to a singular virtuous woman, for her price is above rubies, whose husband is known in the gates. But the description of this virtuous woman is drawn up to such a pitch and wrote in such strong lines as cannot agree with any of the daughters of fallen Adam, literally understood. This virtuous woman is the church of God, her husband, Christ himself. She is set before us in direct contrast to the harlot of Babylon described in chapter 7. Christ, who is wisdom, calls for us to trust our God in all things, giving him our hearts. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let us be wise, like the coney. Take refuge in Christ, the rock of salvation. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The conies are an emblem to the people of God, who are a weak and feeble people, unable of themselves to perform spiritual duties, to exercise grace, to withstand the corruptions of their nature, resist the temptations of Satan, bear up under afflictive providences, and grapple with spiritual enemies or defend themselves from them. But such heavenly wisdom is given them as to betake themselves for refuge and shelter to Christ, the rock of Israel, the rock of salvation, the rock that is higher than they, a strong one on which the church is built, and against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. And here they are, safe from the storms of divine wrath and the avenging justice of God, from the rage and fury of men and the fiery darts of Satan, Here they dwell safely and delightfully, and have all manner of provision at hand for them. They are the inhabitants of that rock, who have reason to sing indeed. It is written, with regard to all who trust Christ, all who take refuge in the rock of Israel, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Do not play the part of the hypocritical spider. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. John Gill suggests that the spider here represents hypocrites, whose hope and trust are as the spider's web, built upon their own righteousness, spun out of their own hearts, a fine, thin, slender thread which cannot bear one stroke of the broom of divine justice. Such as these are in the palaces of Christ the King, in his churches, hypocrites in Zion. So are the paths of all that forget God. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web.